Wednesday, February the 8th, in the year of our Lord, 2012. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel. And as promised, we're going to be talking about attacks against Christianity. Now, obviously there's been a number of attacks against Christianity in regard to the nativity scenes. A lot of city halls indicate, no, we shouldn't be doing those things. And now there's attacks against the morality of Christianity. How do Christians respond to such attacks? They primarily come through the media and companies that are run by people who do not understand the Christian point of view. I tell you, I was not surprised at all, for example, when the NFL invited Madonna, that we were going to have a problem. The track record is such that you knew that the vast majority of people who are going to be watching the NFL are going to be upset over something that occurred during her act. And maybe it wasn't her specifically, but remember the big ballyhoo about Janet Jackson at a Super Bowl? Well, what happened is that one of the singers that Madonna had invited, of course, did an obscene gesture during the halftime show. Well, what surprises me is that people were surprised. This is just a natural thing for such a singer to do, who has the reputation that she has, and for the NFL to invite individuals like that and then appear to be surprised is beyond understanding. Whether or not they'll maybe invite just Pat Boone next year to sing or something, I don't know. But there are a lot of really good, moral, Christian singers out there. And you don't have to get an Elton John or a Madonna in order to get a big crowd. In fact, during the singing of Madonna, this was interesting, you heard a lot of background cheering. Individuals indicate now that much of that act was done by lip syncing, and they actually imposed some of that noise from the crowd onto the track of the lip singers. I don't know if that's true or not. But there's no doubt that Christians are getting short shrift in this society right now. Just yesterday, three judges of the Ninth California Circuit of Appeal, they ruled that gay marriage was a right, a constitutional right. I mean, even marriage isn't a constitutional right. You don't have the right to be married. It's up to the state to decide if marriages are permitted, what kind of marriages, and so forth. And for the people of a state to vote against gay marriage, and then for three judges to overturn the will of the people, you're beginning to see really why the wrath of God is going to be coming down on this country. This is a prime ingredient for God's wrath. I've been talking to people in California, and they're just sick at heart. If their vote, which was to overturn gay marriage, isn't strong enough in this country, then who knows what's going to be next? Perhaps Roman Catholic hospitals are going to be told that they have to give out abortion birth control. Oh, I'm sorry. That is what is being demanded, is it not, in this new health care plan? Christians need to be not only alert to what is going on, but perhaps you need to know how to respond. The one we're going to spend some time on today is what J.C. Penney did in hiring a spokesman. I indicated in the promo, would you support a company if they hired a Ku Klux Klan to be their spokesman? I doubt that any of us would. But you see, the Ku Klux Klan has already got a reputation of being really negative in regard to American values. Those who do not yet have that reputation, although I believe it can grow, is the homosexual community. Abortion already is being seen by the majority of people in the United States not to be permitted under any circumstance. Well, what I mean by that is right now the law says you can have an abortion under any circumstance, and the people are disagreeing with that. The majority of people are. This wasn't true just a few years ago. But particularly with the advent of medical procedures, who can deny that abortion is the killing of a human being? Eagle's eggs have more rights than a human being. Of course, we ought not be surprised, since the Supreme Court, who ruled that in 1973, had also previously ruled that Indians were not legal persons, nor were blacks. Those had to be overturned. If these things are not overturned, and this is where we talk about theology, when God created the world, he put into place certain what we would call laws. But from his point of view, they're not really laws. All that a law is, for example, if you put a seed in the ground and you water it and it's good ground, it will come up. It's the law of germination. That's something that human beings discovered. That's how you do planting. But God is the one behind all that. There is nothing particularly in the seed that makes it germinate and grow into a huge tree like a mustard seed. It's just the way that God does it. So what we're looking at here is God also has intrinsic laws within morality. When somebody commits murder, when they steal, do they go and blare it to everybody publicly? Of course not. They try to hide their crime. And it's not only because it's against the laws of the country and they could go to jail, but their conscience tells them that what they are doing is wrong. Any immoral act, the conscience can bring about great despair. We're discovering that with women who have had abortions. It may take seven or eight years, but they're beginning to really get depressed when they finally recognize what they have done. This is a wonderful time for the Christian church, by the way, in order to counsel and help such women under that circumstance. But the fact of the matter, and this is the point I'm making right now, God has placed a kind of ingrained negativity within the world when immorality overcomes a person or a country. All one has to do is look at history and see what has happened to great nations. And to a great degree, it is due to immoral lifestyles that became commonplace. In fact, God even talks about it in the Bible. In fact, it's the last verse of one of the most important books in the Old Testament, the book of Judges. You kind of had a cyclical kind of thing that, boy, people were really bad, so God sent a judge. He cleaned everything up, and that was good for a while, and then people went bad again. Idolatrous. Then he had to send another judge. This went on and on. Verse 25 of chapter 21 of Judges. This is the last verse of the book of Judges. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now here's how I would update that verse today. In those days, for many people, there is no God in the United States of America, and therefore everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And Christians are being attacked because we stand up for the Word of God, the morality of God, and because if you really love people and love this country, you need to give warnings to people. Can you imagine somebody's getting into a boat and they're going to go deep sea fishing, and you've heard that a great storm is approaching the very area, but you don't tell them because you don't want to infringe their right to go fishing. Do you hear how silly that is? Now, of course, you need to be correct about the storm that is coming. And see, here's where the storm that God brings against a country may not sometimes look like a storm. Oh, sure, there may be times like in the Roman Empire that they were totally defeated by the barbarians, or Israel by the Babylonians. God used the Babylonians for southern Israel, and for northern Israel, the Assyrians. So God does do that. But remember what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah? He just kind of sat back and did not implement the normal negative things that come about as they participated in immoral behavior, homosexuality being one of them. Well, guess what? You know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. So the disaster that can come to any country may not be that obvious at first, because things may look like they're going swimmingly along. Oh, there may be some signs. But the fact of the matter, people have such confidence in the country rather than in God that they don't take the signs of what could happen to a country seriously. Christians are here to be the salt and light of the world, which means we both warn people against immoral behavior because it will ruin their personal lives, and it will definitely ruin the countries if it becomes the law of the land. I've said this before on Law and Gospel, and I'll say it again in case you haven't heard it, but I believe the two greatest activities in this country that can lead to its downfall are abortion and homosexuality. That there are actually people, and you know them, who think that abortion is okay. In any circumstance, if the baby's going to be a problem in your life because you're not going to be able to be doing your thing, well, put it to death. Now, an abortionist would never say that because they pretend that these babies aren't real human beings, as persons with rights and privileges. And therefore, they look to somebody who won't allow them to kill their own child as the real person who is not tolerant. Unfortunately, I have seen in the past week or so how these two items are going to tear apart what are known as the conservative movement. Because people who pretend that they are conservative, and you'll see why I say the word pretend, are actually not only for homosexuality, but they don't think that there's anything that wrong with it. For example, let's take the JCPenney situation. Who have they decided to be their spokesman? Ellen DeGeneres, well-known activist lesbian. You see, here's the principle that Christians operate on. Anyone or any company that gives the impression that homosexual behavior is a God-pleasing lifestyle is in league with the devil. That's the first part. Who reading the Bible would ever disagree with that? In fact, the devil says to homosexuals, yeah, go ahead and do your thing, because then you'll be like God. How so? Well, you'll be able to do what you want. You'll become your own God. The idea that people are born that way, I don't disagree with. According to the Bible, all of us are born with an inclination to sin. Now, some of us, due to the environment, due to biology, I don't really know what, some people are more prone to become inebriated. Others are more prone to do murder. Others are more prone to steal. Others are more prone to be homosexual. Just because you're born with that inclination only proves what the Bible says. And this is why some evangelicals are really having a hard time overcoming the whole thing about homosexuality, because they don't believe in original sin. They don't believe that a baby is conceived and born in iniquity from God's point of view, and it is as necessary for a baby to be saved as it is for an adult. But once you get into this choice thing, that you can make a decision about spiritual matters, then it's pretty easy to fall into the trap that all that a homosexual has to do is, you know, if that's his choice, that's his right. Well, what's really bothering me is how many so-called conservatives are saying, you know, that's a thing of the past. You know, now that don't ask, don't tell has been overcome in the army, people say, well, we shouldn't be talking about it anymore. Even though it's going to be very obvious of the friction that is going to cause in the army. Unless everybody loses their faith. I've been talking to various chaplains of the army as to how they're going to handle this when somebody comes to them and says that he is a homosexual. Are they going to be true to the Word of God and try and help them through that problem? Or are they going to say nothing? Well, we already have a whole denomination, a number of them, including a Lutheran denomination, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, that sees no problem in their pastors being homosexuals. And yet, at the very same time, they will fight against you that when the priests mistreated those young boys, that was not homosexual activity. Of course it was. If one wants to take a look at the Bible, there's just no doubt that homosexual activity is contrary to the Word of God. I don't think we need to really spend a lot of time on that, because those of you who believe the Bible will already be convinced, and those of you who think that the Bible is just written by human beings, it really doesn't matter what I say. But it's very clear that in Romans 1, for example, because of their unbelief, God gave them up to their uncleanness to dishonor their bodies among themselves. He talks about even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, and the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, there's no scholar that I'm aware of that doesn't understand that that's referring to homosexuality. The point I want to make is not only that God is thinking that is a degenerate form of behavior, but listen to this last part. Receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. How many people were trying to say that AIDS, received because of homosexual activity, was not a consequence of sin? And I even heard some pastors saying that. Now, occasionally, yes, it's not a consequence of sin. If, for example, you got blood that was tainted with that problem, then yes, you may get AIDS. But the fact of the matter is that I was just talking to an individual who had lived in San Francisco, and he was telling the problems between the various kinds of people that live there. I mean, there's real hatred and despising of one another. And especially if you go to the gay bars, he says, it's just really horrible, the kind of behavior you see there. But I don't think that you need to point to the consequences of homosexual activity in order to make a case that it is really a degenerate form of behavior. You only need to look to the Word of God. Because as I said, sometimes God, as with Sodom and Gomorrah, will take away the natural consequences of sin, and people will not receive perhaps what they deserve. That's even a greater level of wrath. Leprosy is considered a terrible disease, and if I understand it properly, it's because certain nerves are lost, and so a person can put their hand on a hot stove and not realize they're being burned. Now, you would say, oh, wouldn't that be wonderful if you never felt pain? But you see, pain is a very, very good thing because it helps eliminate even worse problems. Imagine going to take a bath in scalding hot water, and as you lower yourself into it, you don't realize it's scalding because you don't have any pain. And it burns the skin. So also, we pray to God that He will give consequences to any immorality. It already does happen. You commit murder, you got a pretty good chance of going to jail. You go over the speed limit, you got a pretty good chance you're going to have a ticket. It's in the private sins where the government isn't going to arrest anybody for it, such as adultery. Who doesn't know of a family that has experienced adultery on the part of one of the parents and the horrible situation that takes place? But my point is, unfortunately, so-called conservatives are falling into the trap of tolerance towards homosexuality lest they be considered as homophobes. It's almost like people would prefer to allow a homosexual to go to hell rather than speak against what he is doing in order that his soul might be saved. Because we certainly don't want to be known as homophobes. When we get back from the break, I'll explain to you that Christians are, to some degree, homophobes. I'll explain why I think that, why it's a good thing, and therefore how we might be able to deal with those who are in that kind of a lifestyle. Now, if you don't love homosexuals, then you can turn the station, go somewhere else. But if you truly love homosexuals as God loves you, who is also a horrible sinner, then we need to reach out with both the compassion of Christ and the good news of the gospel in order to turn them from that degenerate lifestyle so they might come to know the true God and rejoice in the freedom that He gives us, which means we love to do His will rather than go against it. Stay with us through the break. I'm Tom Baker, and we're dealing with J.C. Penney's hiring of Ellen DeGeneres to become the spokesman for their store. You'll start seeing pictures of her throughout the store. And I'll tell you why this is an abomination against our children.
You can make a difference.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Sometimes it's just a matter of taking the time to inform others. For instance, Lifeway Resources, a Christian bookseller owned by the Southern Baptist Convention, wanted to help fight breast cancer. They recently began selling pink Bibles, with proceeds going to the Susan G. Komen for the Cure Foundation. However, dozens of pro-life individuals contacted the company to inform them that the foundation donates money to Planned Parenthood. Upon confirming this connection, Lifeway discontinued the project. Company President Tom Rayner said that even an indirect relationship with Planned Parenthood violated his organization's core values.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Coming up on the Wednesday Bible study, just after the 10 o'clock news, you know, many people today are not sure that heaven is a real place. They hope that it exists, but sadly many think it's merely a product of people's imaginations. Why is the writer to the Hebrews so certain that it's a real place? That's next time on the Bible study.
Exclusively underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, on KFUO Radio.
You feel petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments, not knowing what to do. You do nothing. But if you do something, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about your options. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
The way man communicates has changed radically over the centuries. What went from shouting across a field to throwing a stone to maybe tying a note to an arrow became radio. And that became KFUO Radio, and the gospel went global. Now we've entered the age of new media. KFUO is there as well. Like us on Facebook. If you follow us, you'll get announcements, program audio, staff photos. Everything you want to know about KFUO is available on the Facebook page. KFUO Radio on Facebook. Like us today.
AM 850 KFUO is underwritten in part by Reliable Heating and Cooling, with a showroom in the Mid-County Trade Center, 8463 Delport Drive. Reliable Heating and Cooling features Lennox air conditioning and furnace systems and services all brands. Reliable also provides senior discounts. Reliable Heating and Cooling, serving you from North, Mid, and West County exchanges. The next time you call Reliable at 423-3535, please thank them for being an AM 850 KFUO underwriter.
Sometimes it seems that enough is enough. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and if you feel like complaining about your life circumstances being terrible, here's some good advice from Johnny Erickson Tata, who knows a thing or two about adversity. She's been in a wheelchair since a 1967 accident paralyzed her, and yet she's found greater peace and purpose in life than many of us.
When hardships hit us, we've got to remember that God's purpose in redeeming us is not to make our lives happy or healthy or free of trouble. No. God's purpose in redeeming us is to draw us to His side. And it's going to mean heartache, pain, disappointment, death. It might even mean divorce or disability. But these are the things which drive us into the arms of Jesus Christ.
Discover more about redeeming life's hardships at focusonthefamily.com/faith.
Tom Baker, we're talking about JCPenney's decision to have a homosexual be their spokesman, even though they're supposed to be a family store. Our numbers here are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi. I just want to make a quick point. I remember several years ago that Focus on the Family had a nationwide advertising campaign they were going to have where they were going to introduce the public to people who are homosexual, who are no longer homosexual anymore.
Yes.
And how their life had improved. And what happened was that every single major magazine and newspaper in the country would not permit the advertising. And so the campaign never came out. And in a great number of cases, trying to express yourself publicly, you're barred from doing that. You know, and this thing in California is just a perfect example of how people's opinion, it doesn't seem to matter anymore. It seems like, you know, we're going to come into the situation where our country is going to be completely run by judges. That's the way it seems to be, especially in the state of California.
Well, it shows how important a proper president to be elected, because his most important task, in my point of view, is Supreme Court judges.
Right.
Had they not been selected the way they were, we wouldn't have these hundreds of thousands of children being put to death.
Right. It's the judges and the federal judges. Those are very important appointments, and those are often they're ignored to a great extent by the Bush administration, and, you know, as you say, you pay the consequences for that.
Well, I see God. I don't know how much patience he's going to have in this area. So I'm not predicting anything except that he won't sit still. What he's going to do, I don't know. Because he's got the choice of what he did with Sodom and Gomorrah or what he did with Israel under Babylonia. So history shows that a country that falls away from proper morality doesn't last very long.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it should be a great spur to people as Christians individually to go out there and speak their mind about this issue, because, as I said, publicly you're not going to hear it. They're not going to allow people to say things like that on TV that are against it. So, anyway.
Well, we say it here on KFUO, listener supported, you know, and, you know, the fact of the matter is this is the broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we're one of the few denominations left who still hold to the veracity of the Word of God. I mean, once God says it, that settles it. And our task isn't to change the country, but to warn the country with the law and then give the good news with the gospel. So that's our task here, and I sure appreciate any support for that. Thanks so much, Brian.
Thank you.
God bless. Anybody else can call at 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. I was making the point that I'm just really astonished how so-called conservatives are starting to fall in with particularly the homosexual movement. You know, there's just a low percent of people who are homosexual. It's been like 3 to 5% who are born with that inclination to sin in that way. There's probably a greater percentage who are born with an inclination to sin toward drinking or becoming angry or losing the temper. But I'll tell you what's going to happen here, and this needs to be understood, is that in the old days there were not that many homosexuals among children simply because it wasn't something talked about or delighted in by public school teachers. I mean, there's actually books for the public school trying to give the impression to children that this is okay, which means they have no understanding of what the law does. You see, the law is simply what one can do and what one shouldn't do. And if homosexuality is made to be something that children can do, then you will have a lot more doing that action. Just like when sex education went down to the lower grades, look at all the pregnancies you have now of young children. Now, what's going to happen, therefore, is that the rate of suicide is going to go up. The more legal you make abortion and homosexuality, the more people feel great psychological pain over doing that, the guilt God is not going to take away. And of course, Christians will be blamed for the higher rate of suicide because they have to blame somebody. And it's the Christians who will be standing up indicating that this is degenerate behavior. But the very saying of it will mean that we'll be blamed for the higher rate of suicides. But that's what it means to be persecuted. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk with Chris. Hi, Chris.
How are you, Pastor Baker?
Very good. How can I help you?
Okay. I think you had mentioned the point about, like, that you know, not so many people perhaps struggle with this sin. And that's why I think perhaps there's some backlash against the focus on the family, the way they present things, maybe perhaps in a sense of unbalanced, or maybe just in a sense where they sense that the Christians are all about law. Because these seem to be, the church seems to speak up about these things at times, but it seems to be our pet sins. You know, for example, homosexuality, or prayer in the schools, or abortion, when these are all heinous sins, of course, against the will of God, no question. But when the church itself, at times, I feel that we don't speak about, you know, the claim that Jesus never talked about homosexuality, but he sure talked about marriage. And the marriage and the divorce, the people who are willing to condemn homosexuality in the church overlook the fact that we have divorced people all over our pews. And this, in our day, I think is a greater issue. Even within the church, I see divorce among our youth. And then, like you mentioned, it kills our kids. And people feel like they just need to be happy, and they leave their husband or their wife. It's disgraceful. And yet, I think the church should speak up just as well, that Jesus still says that when you divorce someone, you commit adultery when you marry another, and yet we don't speak, it doesn't seem we speak as harshly there as we're willing to speak against homosexuality. What's your view?
When I was at St. James for 28 years, we excommunicated 8 or 9 people. I know 4 of them were due to divorce.
Oh.
But I was one of the few congregations, even in the area, that was continuing excommunication. Because excommunication,
you would agree that we don't do that.
Well, I'll tell you, if I was going over the speed limit all the time, and I said to my pastor, "I don't think it's wrong, and I'm going to do it," he should excommunicate me because I am unrepentant towards a sin.
Right.
The distinction is all sins deserve eternal hell. The gossip I do or the homosexuality somebody else does, they both deserve eternal hell. We need to not be pointing the finger at anybody without realizing that at least 3 fingers are pointing back to you.
All right, no question.
Now,
right.
The reason that homosexuality and abortion, though, are becoming pretty important in the country is that not long ago those were illegal actions. Now they become legal. And it's starting to ruin families and the country in a way that divorce, which has always been looked down upon. I mean, nobody writes on their shirt, "I was divorced," you know, 4 times or something. Nobody's proud of that. But they are proud of having abortions or being a homosexual.
And you're right on that.
So that's
what
the problem. By the way, I'm going to disagree with you on the prayer in the school. You may find this interesting, but I am totally opposed to prayer in the school.
Oh, good. So am I.
You know why?
Well, why should the government be teaching prayer? I don't want that.
Well, no, not that. What prayer are they going to use?
Oh, yeah, right. They don't pray to the same God.
No, they cannot pray to Jesus Christ because they'll offend Jewish people or Muslim. So the prayer has to be so general that it's really offered to the devil.
Right.
And I don't want my kids praying to the devil.
No, not at all. But I know that my mother said that in the old days, you know, they would pray psalms in assembly. And
oh,
course,
yes.
That was acceptable. That
yes.
was acceptable when you only had Jews and Christians inside the school.
Well, we would always say the Our Father and the national anthem at the beginning of every school day.
Oh.
And I had a Jewish friend, Don Gardner, and he would pray the Lord's Prayer. And I said, "Why are you praying that?" He said, "Well, there's nothing in it that a Jew can't pray." And I said to him, "Well, let me tell you what the meaning is." And after I was done, he never prayed it again.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you very much, Ben.
Thanks so much for your call, Chris. I really appreciate that. Yes, we can be hypocritical. In fact, this is not a sermon. When a pastor stands up and blasts all those homosexuals and abortionists outside the church, there is a place for trying to get your congregation to be about the business also of the secular realm in voting against immoral behavior. But in a sermon, you want to make sure you blast every person in the pew. I did that last week when we were talking about Paul says, "I become a Jew to the Jew and those who live under the law as those who live under the law." And I was giving examples what Paul meant, like A Jew to the Jew means when you invite them out to eat, you don't give them pork. Even though you know it's okay to eat pork, it's going to unnecessarily offend him. And you want to keep him as a friend so you can share with him the message in order to might save him. Or those living under the law, and I gave the example where with Timothy and Titus, one he circumcised, the other he didn't, depending on the reasons why people insisted on the circumcision. But the one where he did, you know, they felt that the ceremonial law was somewhat important, and they really weren't talking to people who did not have experience circumcision. So I then looked at the congregation. I said, okay, every one of you knows something and someone that you have not humbled yourself before in order that you might be able to speak to them about the message of Jesus Christ. And I went into a lot lengthier so that I tried to touch everybody in the pew that we all have failed in this area. Because we believe that some people don't deserve to hear the message of the gospel, which is our old Adam talking, of course, because you and I didn't deserve to hear the message of the gospel. I'll tell you somebody who's going to be in real problems. He had a very conservative point of view, but I was listening to him the last night, and I had to tape a later show of his to make sure I got this right, but it was Bill O'Reilly on Fox News. I don't know why, but, you know, the Million Moms campaign, who are Bible-believing Christians, they are asking JCPenney to fire Ellen DeGeneres as the spokesman. Who wants to go into a family-run store and see her picture there when everybody knows that she's married to another woman and that she really flaunts that? I mean, what kind of spokesman is that? Now, he said that, O'Reilly said he had lost a lot of respect for the Million Moms campaign and compare them to the McCarthy days. But one listener, and he was nice enough to read their letter the next day, said that was beyond the pale. Another listener reminded O'Reilly of his efforts to fire Ludacris. He was a rap singer who really says nasty things when he became a spokesman for a soft drink company. And then he made the comment, he said, well, Ludacris was doing wrong and Ellen is not. What? You know, that's like a Nazi guard at a concentration camp who really doesn't participate in the killing of Jews, but guards the camp so the Jews can't escape. And you say, well, he's not as bad as the ones who are putting the Jews to death. I don't think the Nuremberg trial made a distinction in that area. How a so-called Roman Catholic that O'Reilly says he is can come to the conclusion that homosexual behavior isn't doing something wrong is beyond me. It's probably because he hasn't had very good Roman Catholic priests talk to him about this or understand it. And we do know that his theology is not really true Roman Catholic theology, even in the good sense. He was once making the point that the gospel never speaks out against homosexuality because the gospel is only Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there he got confused the books of the gospel with the gospel message, which is we're saved by grace through faith on account of Jesus. So it's not that he doesn't make some really good points occasionally, but rarely in the area of religion, because he's more of a political thinker than he is a theological thinker. He even quoted Luke 6:37. And see, you're going to hear this verse. And so how do we deal with it when we're speaking out against homosexuals? It says, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Obviously, that cannot mean that we don't have the right to judge whether somebody is sinning Or else, if they really don't believe you have the right to do that, I would love to have them on my jury when I'm convicted of a crime. I would just look at them and said, judge not, lest you yourselves be judged. And say, oh, not guilty. See how silly that is? And here's once more where the English is horrible. Because even from the context, it doesn't mean that we cannot judge that somebody is doing something wrong. I mean, can you imagine your child gets kidnapped and the kidnappers demand a ransom and you say, you know, you did wrong, and they say, no, judge not, lest you yourselves be judged. I mean, this gets silly. The word judge here doesn't refer to indicating whether somebody is right or wrong in their behavior. It refers to the final judgment, that they go to hell because of it. And that's what a Christian cannot do. Even though homosexual behavior is a degenerate, sinful form of behavior, you can't look at any specific homosexual and say that person is going to hell. I have no idea. It's clear that if God recognizes them as an unrepentant homosexual, and take a look at some of the epistles on that, then yes, hell is their home. But what kind of struggles are they going through? I can't read their minds. So any pastor who says homosexuals are going to hell, no, they got to kind of do what I did on a sign we had at St. James Lutheran Church. It was a double sign. So if you're going one way down the road, you saw the one side, and if you're coming the other way, you see the other side. One side said, unrepentant homosexuals go to hell. And the other side said, repentant homosexuals go to heaven. Now, we could spend a lot of time in talking about that, but I think you get my meaning. So this do not judge has nothing to do with indicating to someone that they're living a lifestyle that is an abomination to our God. This is totally unnatural kind of behavior. And even the natural knowledge kind of shows us that. O'Reilly's worst moment is when he explained his position last night. I about fell out of my chair. He said, you can express how homosexuality is an abomination, but if you do it publicly, gay people are likely to be hurt, and especially children. Do you want that? Now, bringing in the children's card is just really low, and you ought not let anybody do that against you. All you do is look at them and says, well, I hope you don't criticize somebody who's a member of the Ku Klux Klan, or maybe even the Nazi party, because, you know, when their children hear this, they're going to feel bad. And you certainly don't want to hurt children, do you? Now, let me just give you the obvious thing that O'Reilly just seems to have missed, and many people do. What hurts a child more? To be encouraged and tempted by their public school teacher to acknowledge that homosexuality is a worthwhile lifestyle, which they can participate in, will even give you protection, you know, just go to the school nurse, or telling a child that homosexuality is an abomination before Almighty God, and that nothing but bad is going to happen. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Hey, I know some homosexual people, and they seem to have a very good lifestyle. Well, the Pharisees had a wonderful lifestyle. They were rich. People looked up to them. They bowed down before them. And they had the same view as homosexuals do. Thank God I'm not like those other people who look down on homosexuality. You see, by nature, well, let's take a black person. Racism is wrong, but in this case, that's also something the Bible agrees with. Racism is wrong. To look down at a person because of the color of his skin or his nationality, that's a sin. So what is the goal of every black person? And I had a number of them in my congregation, would be to make sure that as children grow up, they learn that being black is not a problem, and certainly is not a problem to God. And that's the kind of preaching we would even do in order to eradicate racism. Well, what are homosexuals trying to eradicate? Homophobia. So they're doing the same thing, saying, hey, being a homosexual, that is a natural way of living, and it is not something contrary to the will of God. In other words, they're telling this to your children. And because the devil is so strong, your children will be tempted to try this. Who would ever doubt that the goal of every black person is to make sure that nobody thinks being black is wrong? And who would ever doubt that the goal of every homosexual is to make every child come to an understanding that homosexual behavior is natural and okay? It's really an attack against your children that is taking place here. All you have to do is look at the history of the world where this occurred again and again. So O'Reilly is dead wrong. I'd rather have a child really upset that he has a gay couple either missing therefore a father or a mother, rather than becoming part of the homosexual lifestyle where his eternal destiny is in jeopardy. See, sometimes you have to do to a child what's going to hurt them, like give them a hypodermic needle to offset the flu. Well, what child ever votes for that? What child looks forward to that? What child is happy that they're going through that pain? I mean, how dare you even take them to a dentist? Why don't you let them make their own decision when they hit 18 years old? How dare you even give them food without letting them make their own decision? If it is true that we're moving into a society where a person can do anything he wants, well, now, I have to really compliment O'Reilly. He said, and this was in another situation that was mentioned, by the way, just before the break ended, where the Susan B. Anthony, you may have heard the advertisement, was speaking against the Komen Foundation that is now taking your money that you had given for breast cancer and giving it to Planned Parenthood to kill children. And O'Reilly made the point, saying, until I know that money isn't going to kill children, I am not giving another penny to the Komen Foundation. That may be something you want to do, JCPenney. That may be something you no longer want to visit as a protest. But I would say that you ought to be writing your letters and indicating to them that for a family store to go ahead and do this, especially in contradistinction against Christian families, is really beyond the pale. Tomorrow is Ruminations, so you'll not just be hearing me, but you'll be hearing Pastors Kurowski and Pastor Smith, God willing. And one of the questions we're going to be dealing with, that we have been asked to deal with, is whether or not only the elect can be saved. And if you have some questions about the JCPenney or homosexuality or abortion, don't hesitate to bring them up also tomorrow. Until then, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.